I'm going to read from the book of Mark, chapter 1, and verse 2, 3, and 4. It goes like this, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Our Lord's great silence for 30 years was only interrupted briefly by the scene in the temple when he was 12 years old. The time was now coming to move from the private life to the public life, because the events was to be world shaken. Luke connects this time in the Lord's life with the appearance of John the Baptist. John was living in solitude in the desert, clothed in camel's hair, with a leather girdle about his loins. His food consisted of locusts and wild honey. If he was going to prepare for Christ, he must also evoke a consciousness of sin. John was moved by a deep conviction of sin in the world. The heart of his message to soldiers, public officials, farmers, or anyone else who would listen was repent. The Sadducees must lay aside their worldliness, the Pharisees their hypocrisy and self-righteousness. All who come to Christ must repent. With the country under a Roman yoke, it would have been more popular for John to promise that the one who was to come, the one whom he announced, would be a political liberator. That would have been the way of men, but instead of a call to arms, John gave a call to repent for sins, and those who claim to be Abraham's descendants must not glory in it, because if God willed, he could raise up children of Abraham from the stones. John the Baptist put it in these words, "Say not within yourselves, we have Abraham to our fathers. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." John considered himself unworthy to untie the shoelaces of our Lord. The greatness of John consisted in the fact that he was given the privilege of running before the chariot of the king, saying, "Christ has come." The day on which John and Jesus met in the Jordan, John felt a reverent humility. John felt the need of a redeemer. When our Lord asked him to baptize him, John was reluctant to do so. John knew that submitting our Lord to a ritual which professed repentance was ridiculous. How could he baptize one who had no sin? Yet the Lord says, "Suffer it to be, John, for it is well that we should fulfill all righteousness." The object of his baptism was the same as the object of his birth, namely, to identify himself with sinful humanity. Isaiah foretold that he would be numbered among the transgressors. Christ was not being baptized as a private person, but as a representative of sinful humanity, though himself without sin. Every Israelite who came to John made a confession of sin, but our Lord made no such confession. He had no sins to repent of, but he was only identifying himself with the sinners. When he went down into the river Jordan to be baptized, he made himself one with sinners, the innocent, sharing the burden of the guilty. And this was the meaning of the baptism by John. I hope this 5 minutes has been an encouragement to you. You can get in touch with me at BibleStrong316@gmail.com or log on to our website at BibleStrong316.org.